Okay, I'm going to move and Linda's going to come in. We'll adjust this mic if you need to do that. Let me get out of the way without falling over. And you get in without falling over. I'm good. Let me get this out of the way. Go ahead.
We can delay this as long as possible. Anybody have anything they want to say? It's a blessing to be here with you today. And I'm going to attempt this technology. God bless Brother Jim and Brother Barry and Linda for getting here early to help me. And it turned out I didn't need it because Brother Jim took care of everything. Praise God. And Brother Don helped also. So we'll be looking today at the parable of the Good Samaritan. I'm excited to share this with you and tell you a little bit about why I'm excited. I'm challenged by it. It starts with the parable of the Good Samaritan, which we've heard all of our lives. And you might wonder, well, what's new about it? I'll be glad to show you that. It's very interesting. And then it leads to the Holy Spirit challenging me in a very strong way. And I pray that each one of us today will be come away excited about what the Holy Spirit is teaching us and also challenged. I pray that you'll be met with your needs wherever you are. So let's start with the parable of the Good Samaritan and the right arrow. Right. Yes. As I was saying, this is in Luke chapter 10, verse 25.
Just tap that.
Okay, got it. Thank you. It's so good to have him here. This is wonderful. Thank you, Vicki. Thank you for coming back early. Where did Vicki go? She's with her. Okay, chapter 10, verse 25. It tells us, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted or tested Jesus, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he, Jesus, said unto him, he asked him a question in return. He said, What is written in the law, and how readest thou? Uh-oh. Whoops. Oh, dear. What did we do? Oh, dear. Oh, dear. I don't know how to go back now. I'm so sorry.
No, you're fine.
Would you like to pull a chair up?
No, no. I'm good.
Back and there. Okay, let's see. Yeah, that's good. Perfect.
Is that right?
It's perfect.
So that one and this one.
Okay. All righty. We'll get this. God has a sense of humor, doesn't he?
I hope so.
And I love the sense of humor in this class. Don't you? I just love the camaraderie between the brothers here, and it's really special. So we tease you guys a good bit, but it really just adds so much. So in verse 27, the lawyer answered God and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus said unto the lawyer, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. So if the lawyer could do all of that, he would receive eternal life, because this was prior to the cross, prior to Jesus' sacrifice for us once and for all. And anyone who could commit themselves to this would have to totally surrender their life to the Lord, which we know that's what we do now when we're saved. We give him our all in exchange for what he did for us. But the lawyer, being willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" This lawyer dwelt with concrete, finite laws, and he wanted to know, how far do I have to go, and then I'm free of my responsibility? Is it 5 houses to the east, 5 houses to the west, or maybe it's 7 houses? So Jesus, tell me, who is my neighbor, and when am I free of that responsibility? He was looking for a way out. And of course, you know how this goes. Jesus, answering the man, said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho." And Jerusalem, as you know, sits on the hills or the mountains. The road from Jerusalem down to Jericho is about 18 miles. And it's at that time, it was steep, narrow, winding. And in Jericho lived about 12,000 priests who lived in that, and Levites who lived in that area, and then traveled the road up to Jerusalem to serve their duty in the temple. And then they'd come back down to Jericho, kind of like Metro Atlanta and Alpharetta, I guess. It was a suburb, you might say. Jericho was in the flatland and about 6 miles from the Jordan River. So this was a narrow road that this traveler is coming down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And it was called the Bloody Way, because it was known for the robbers and the thieves that inhabited that road, looking for opportunities to attack folks. And they attacked this traveler. This traveler fell among thieves. They stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, departed, and left him how dead? Half dead. Very important there. These little words that we find are just like jewels that make you wonder, well, why do we need to know he was only half dead? And by chance, there came down that way a certain priest. And when he saw the man, he just passed by on the other side. And likewise comes a Levite. And when he was at the place, at least he came and looked at the man, and then he passed by on the other side. These were devout men of God who served in the temple, who knew the scriptures, who knew to show compassion. What was their excuse? What's my excuse today? In Numbers 19, it tells us that if a person did any one of these things, excuse me, they were considered unclean. So the priest didn't want, and the Levite didn't want to touch a dead body. But remember, the scripture told us, how dead was this man? He was half dead. So they could have touched his body. They can't go into a place where a person is dying, for instance, in their room, at their house, or in a tent. If you went into where the person was dying, you would be unclean. If you were present when the person died, you would be unclean. So maybe they thought the man was dying and they didn't want to be there. Or if you touched one who's slain, or the bone of a dead man, or a grave, you become unclean. You cannot go on to the temple and serve and do your job. You've got to go back home, go through the rituals, get yourself clean, perhaps in isolation for a while, and then you can go do your job. Showing compassion to this traveler would have interrupted their busy schedule. It would cause them an inconvenience. Does any of that sound familiar to us today? I can think back on the times when I missed opportunities, and those opportunities resonate and cause me to have regret. Regret is a very hard pillow to sleep on. Regret is very hard. So we need to go over a brief history. This is history in a nutshell here. After King Solomon died, the 12 tribes of Israel were divided into how many kingdoms? Two, all right? And the southern kingdom was the two tribes of Judah and Benjamin. but it was called by the Kingdom of Judah, and Jerusalem was its capital. The temple was there. The northern kingdom was comprised of the land that the other 10 tribes owned, and it was called the Kingdom of Israel. Samaria was a province and became the capital city of that kingdom. So you had Samaria, the capital city of the northern kingdom, Jerusalem, the capital city of the southern kingdom, where the temple was. And then you remember the Jews went into captivity. The king of Assyria, who had them in captivity, sent people from other tribes and cities into the kingdom of Israel, where the 10 tribes were, to maintain the houses, the gardens, the orchards, keep the wild beast out, keep the other tribes from coming in and taking the land. So these people from other tribes and cities were pagans. They brought with them their pagan idols and gods, but the king also sent a Jewish priest to them to teach them to fear the Lord God. And they did, to a point. They worshiped the Lord God, and they still worship their pagan idols. So when the Jews were allowed to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple there, you remember that, they would not permit the Samaritans to come and help them because the Samaritans were unclean. They had a mixed religion, some of the Lord God, some of their pagan idols, and the Jews would have nothing to do with that. In fact, when the Jews came back from captivity, they wouldn't come through the northern kingdom where the Samaritans lived. They would come around the eastern side of the Jordan River to get to Jerusalem. In a nutshell, it's more complicated than all of that, but the Jews and the Samaritans hated each other, and this is some of the reasons why. In verse 33, one of these hated Samaritans came down the road, and he saw the man. He had compassion on him. He went to him, bound up his wounds, poured in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The wine for his wounds is acid, and that would get rid of the bacteria that could be set up in the wounds. The oil was like a barrier to any bacteria getting back into the wounds. So he took good care of this man, brought him to an inn. And on the morning when the Samaritan departed, as you know, he took out some money, gave it to the host of the inn and said, take care of him, and whatsoever you spend, when I come again, I'll repay you. Does that sound familiar? Is that giving you a foreshadowing of what this is going to be about? So in answer to the lawyer's question, who is my neighbor? Jesus just asked the lawyer a question in return. And he says, which now of these three do you think was the neighbor to the one that fell among the thieves? Well, that's an easy question. We knew that as a child when we heard this story at age 6. The lawyer said, he that showed mercy on him. And then Jesus said something to him, which he says to us, go and do thou likewise. That was his answer to the lawyer. And right about here, in a Sunday school class several years ago, I was listening to this story of the parable of the Good Samaritan, just as you are. And I sat there smiling nicely, just looking pleasant. And inside my spirit, my rebellious nature was speaking to the Holy Spirit going, is that all there is? I've heard this story all my life. This is one of the first stories I heard as a young child. You had the flannel graph, high technology back then. And you had the donkey coming along, and the whole thing fascinated me. But I've heard this story all my life, and you have too. And I was just smiling and praying, Holy Spirit, can't you teach me something more? There's more truth to this. Please, I am bored. Just being honest. Matthew 7:7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. So, Linda, are you ready for a deeper truth? The Holy Spirit began to explain to me an analogy, a most beautiful and powerful analogy from this parable. And then as I've studied it more over the past years, it's brought me to, he's challenged me, which we'll go into. As he gave me this analogy, well, let's go ahead. Okay, so you go back to Luke 10:30, the parable, a man goes from Jerusalem down to Jericho. This is an analogy of my spiritual life. The road from Jerusalem, where the cross is, where the cross was where my spiritual journey started. And that road comes all the way down to Jericho. And one day I'm going to cross the Jordan River and go to the promised land. On my life's journey spiritually, at some point in my life, and I'll bet at some point in your life, Satan came like a roaring lion seeking to destroy me. He's a lying thief. So when this traveler fell among thieves, at some point in your life, I know in my life, I fell amongst this Satan, the thief. He maybe tried to destroy me physically and take my life, or mentally, or spiritually, and take my Christian witness and testimony away from me. And you may have found yourself in the position I was in when I felt like there's no hope. How do I get out of this situation that I have somehow gotten into? The thieves stripped the traveler of his garments and wounded him and left him half dead. Satan tries to steal, kill, and destroy my and your lives. If he can't take that, he'll take our testimony or he'll take our witness, and he will leave us spiritually dying or half dead. And if we go to the scriptures, the law, the Mosaic law there, the commandments, cannot save us. All they can do is condemn us. When we look at the thou shalt nots, we're condemned by the law because we know we have at some time broken the thou shalt nots. All the law can do is identify me as a sinner. That's all it could do for me. While I was going through this with the Holy Spirit, I was saying, I get it. I can see this glorious truth that you're trying to share with me, Holy Spirit, but I am subject to imaginations. This is just Linda making this stuff up and knitting this together, and because I really don't see how, I don't know who my good Samaritan could have been, and I don't see how Jesus is the part of the good Samaritan. I don't get that. At that moment, the teacher that was leading the class, it didn't connect with anything he was saying, said, and Jesus was called a Samaritan. And this Baptist Pentecostal soul, I wanted to get up and shout, you just solved the mystery for me. So here we go. Down the dusty road of my life at a painful time came Jesus, the Good Samaritan. John 8:48 is the key to this analogy. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were present, debating with Jesus and testing him about whether he could cast out devils and so forth. And then one of the Jews said unto Jesus, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and you have a devil? In other words, that's why Jesus was able to cast out devils, because he was one. Let's look back. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the kingdom of Judah. He was taken for safety at a young age to Egypt until King Herod died. Then Joseph and Mary returned to Nazareth, their home. And which kingdom is Nazareth in? The southern kingdom or the northern kingdom? The northern kingdom. What's the capital city of the northern kingdom? Samaria. The people of that area were called Samaritans. It was a well-known fact there, and this is the first time that I had ever learned that. Jesus spent most of his ministry in the northern kingdom, around the Sea of Galilee. And so the Pharisees and Sadducees knew him, and by his dialect, that he was from the northern kingdom. Remember, one of the disciples said, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Remember that? Because the Jews just had disdain for anyone from the northern kingdom. They didn't want to have anything to do with them. The Good Samaritan. Does it not make better sense now that our Lord is the Good Samaritan? And he was telling this parable about himself to us. He bound up, the Good Samaritan bound up the wounds of this traveler. The wine here reminds me of the Last Supper, the wine that we take in remembrance of the blood that Jesus shed for us. The Good Samaritan gave us his wine, his blood, and the oil reminds me of the Holy Spirit that was given to us as our comforter and our teacher. Jesus had to leave before the Holy Spirit could come. So he bound up our wounds, pouring in wine and oil. He set the traveler on his own beast or donkey. And didn't he sit us beside himself as heirs and joint heirs with Christ? Aren't we seated with Christ? The Good Samaritan brought the man to an inn to take care of the wounded traveler. And Jesus brings us and other wounded people to his church body for us to care for the wounded, love them, restore them, nourish them, and help them to grow. And when Jesus arose from the dead and ascended to heaven as the traveler departed, but before he did, the traveler paid the host. And before Jesus left, he paid for our redemption. And he said unto the host, "When I come again, I'll repay thee." And aren't you expecting when our Lord comes again, he's going to take us with him and he's going to repay us for the work that we've done for him here on this earth? That verse, "When I come again, I'll repay thee," is so beautiful to me. I pray that this brings some insight to you about the parable of the Good Samaritan that it did to me. I pray that you are more thrilled with your Savior, with what he's done for you, what he's doing for you, and what we should be doing for others. Because of the great compassion that the Good Samaritan extended to me, I want to follow his example. He has commanded us, "Go and do likewise." And I want to do that. I want to help bring in the harvest for the kingdom, because the scriptures tell us the laborers are few. I want to rescue the perishing. So the Holy Spirit tells me to get busy. Get busy, Linda. He doesn't care that I'm a 73-year-old widow woman that's got arthritis in all my joints. He doesn't care that I'd like to sit there on the recliner, petting the cat, cheering the Braves on. When Jesus comes and my work is put on in a pile, that will be my performance evaluation. You remember when we worked for businesses, we always had to have a work review. We loved those, didn't we? They were so much fun. Well, brothers and sisters, we've got one more work evaluation coming to each of us, whether we like it or not. And that is at the judgment seat of Christ. And I can just see him putting my pile of works over there and say, okay, Linda, you ready for us to light a fire to it? And I'll be like, oh, okay. And he lights the fire. And this whole big busy pile of mine where I've been busy in my life just whoosh goes up in flames. And there might be a little tiny gold nugget down there the size of a butter bean. We keep busy, don't we? But what's that going to count for? What's that going to count for? And so right now, when I've done my work evaluation with the Holy Spirit, I've said, okay, maybe I have 10 good years left. Who knows? Could be 5, could be 7. Maybe I have a few good years left, Lord. My husband's in heaven. I don't need to cook for him or do his laundry. I've got some free time. Our children, our 3 daughters, are grown with families and homes of their own. They don't need mama's advice. They don't need mama's opinion. They don't need mama's time, unless it's an emergency. So I have more free time. So, Lord, is it okay that I just sit here and cheer for Ronald Acuna Jr. and, you know, watch the Braves, and I'll be wasting my time. I'll be wasting my time and missing opportunities, missing them. So what if I were to say, Lord, here I am. Whatever you can do with me, go ahead and do it. Brother Jim has given us the scripture a while back from Ezekiel about the watchman on the wall, where Ezekiel 3:17, if you were a watchman on the wall of the city and you saw danger coming and you didn't warn the town, danger, danger, the blood of the people in the city who perished would be on your hands. That's serious. That's very serious. What about the opportunities God gives me? Is he going to hold me accountable? Brother Jeff told us in his Hero to Zero recent sermon series about Moses starting his mission at age, you remember that? 80.
You got 7 more years. Oh, yeah.
That's right. I can wait. And Jeff told us it is never too late. You can see how the Holy Spirit has been after me for months, sending this stuff to me, going, come on, Linda, are you getting it? Is it getting through your head yet that you got to get busy? Brother Barry told us that to rejoice is a choice, and that is powerful. Who can forget that? And to show compassion is a choice, and to reach souls for the kingdom is a choice. At the Joyful Noise Ministry the other day, Babby Mason told us that she had learned at this stage of her ministry, and as you know, Babby, she's been ministering musically all her life. She said that she has learned she has to be more intentional about approaching people for God. She's been singing, but she's not been directly approaching anyone for God.
Can I just say that word, intentional?
Yes.
It's such a powerful word. You must be.
Yes. Amen. He tells us to go, doesn't he? He doesn't say, sit around and maybe I'll send them to you. You know, maybe somebody will knock on your door. He tells us to be intentional, to go.
Linda,
yes.
Another powerful word in here, what Bob said, is can't.
Is can't. Oh, can't. Mm-hmm. That is a powerful word. Those are my excuses. Yeah, I can't. Mm-hmm. I can't do this. I can't do that. I've got good reason. And the priest and the Levite had good reasons not to show compassion. Mm-hmm. They thought. Brother Don has told us that there's a need for how many more counselors, Brother Don?
43.
Sister Vicki, what's our attendance in here today?
Let's see. It was 69 plus 4 was
73. Mm-hmm. We have 30 extra.
Yep, match your age.
73 is my age. Yes, it is. So, Brother Don, when you look around this room, I don't know about you, but I see 43 people that are quite qualified to go and love on people and let them know that Jesus loves them and ask them a question. Have you made a choice about where you want to spend eternity? Have you decided where you want to spend eternity? God gives you the free will, and it's your choice. So your choices are heaven in happiness with the Holy God, or your choices in hell, a horrible experience with demons and Satan who hate you. So have you made your choice yet? I'm just curious. What about in here? How many of us in here, by a show of hands, remember the day that you made a choice that you were going to accept Jesus as your Savior, go and live in heaven, and then serve Him for the rest of your life? How many of you in here at some time in your life made that choice? What a blessing. What a hope we have. What about our families who haven't made that choice yet? That's all we have, is to offer them the choice. We don't have to preach to them. We don't have to debate with them. The Holy Spirit never in the scriptures debated. The Holy Spirit stated the truth and left it there for the person to decide. So, how many of us in here now have signed up with There's Hope for the Hungry to start learning to be a counselor? My glasses. Or we need 43 more, so you don't get credit for this, Randy. Except this Thursday, Randy and Gloria are letting me accompany them to There's Hope for the Hungry, and I'm going to be learning to become a counselor with There's Hope for the Hungry. Okay, some of you are younger than 73. Some of you, your joints don't have arthritis in them, and your minds are clearer than mine is. But we come up with excuses, and the Lord may not be calling you to that, but He may be calling you to something else. Don't miss the opportunity. Can you stand up though, or come up here? Come up here, Gloria.
No, I don't want to stand up. We're going to hug with us coming up today. How the Holy Spirit works in our lives. He impressed upon me that I should ask Linda to go to work. Because it's a restaurant she lives out close to me. Because most of you know we live in our little district. So she lives out there too. And so we got together and we went to lunch. And through the course of the lunch, somehow, the subject was brought up about Hope for the Hungry. And so I began to share with her what it was all about, what all happened, and what she did and what she didn't do, what I did, what I didn't do. And he does so much better than I do. And so, my point for this comment is the Holy Spirit was working in the book. And I didn't know. The Holy Spirit impressed upon me. I wonder why. I'd never asked him to go to work with me before. But I asked. And anyway, it was during that lunch. But I told her, you should go. You would be just truly a blessing. Plus, you would be such a natural. Mm-hmm. We all know that. And so then she immediately, I don't know. You know, I just, you go. She was To the sheriff up. And so by the time the party was over, he had set up a time. And so that's how that all came about. She's going to go. And besides that, the Holy Spirit had been dealing with me about getting involved again in the ministry, because when we first moved over here, I went out with Randy, and then COVID came along, and they had to shut down the ministry and talk about it was going on. Anyway, I never went back after COVID. And so all this time, just Randy was, we go back 15 times a month. And anyway, I just shut it out of my mind. And then so it was only recently, along about the time that I asked God, that the Holy Spirit was giving me that I needed to get back to God. So he's an encouragement to me.
I'd like to give one example. I just had a birthday party. And I've shared this with some of you. I got a birthday present from Rhett and Kelly, and it was so perfect for me. And I want to share this with you. It's you get a prompt a week. Pardon me, a prompt a month for a year. And you write down about that prompt. The first prompt I got was my mother. And so I wrote down that a minister, when my mother was pregnant with me, he was a Lutheran minister that came knocking on the door. And it was a little bitty church. And my mother was a very meek woman, and my father was a pretty strong-minded old German. And she said to him, when he left, Ralph, we're going to start attending church. And they started attending church. And through that witness, it has changed generations on both my sister's side and mine. I might encourage you to look into that, because not only you just had a grandchild, and just think of this, she just had a grandchild, great-grandchild, and that child is going to have a little one, and the next generation is going to have a little one, and we can miss out, can miss out on witnessing and losing a whole generation.
Thank you. Thank you. The intention. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.
Each one of us, each one of us, we're all Samaritans.
Yes.
We're not chosen people. And everybody we see during the day, every day, not just on Hope for the Hungry, every day you're going to see somebody who's half dead. We should have compassion on those people too, and you have a chance to give them a testimony. Tuesday, I went to a doctor's appointment, and I'm looking for an opportunity. Lord, give me an opportunity. Lady's like, "Oh, I'm so blessed. You have big veins, you know." It's like, no, but it was like, "You're blessed. Oh, are you a Christian? Are you born again Christian?" No, I'm spiritual. Oh, okay. I used to be that way too. Why do you have a fingerprint? Literally, you talked 15 minutes about the Lord. 25-year-old girl who just had a baby. You know, the opportunities are there. People are out there, and they're wounded, and they coincide.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. And you have no regrets that you didn't speak to her, because you took the opportunity. That is awesome. That's something that I'm going to be, hopefully, have my eyes more wide open and see the opportunities that he brings to me and act on them, where before I might have just prayed in private or something, but we've got to be intentional and we've got to act on these. Yes.
I'm convinced that the Lord, especially if you are saved, he prompts you to do these things. And, you know, we just don't want to do it something.
Amen.
But he prompts us to do it. And when he prompts you, that's the time to do it.
That's the time to do it.
Don't wait.
Don't wait. Okay.
It prompted me to record on a document on my computer whenever I run across a sentence, a phrase, whatever, it has to be short, that really speaks to me. And I usually record who said it or wrote it. This one, I do not know who said it, but it's very powerful to me, so I share it with you. And that is, obedience delayed is disobedience.
Wow.
And I can't tell you how many times in my life I've felt the Spirit tell me strongly I needed to do whatever, and I have put it off.
Mm.
And what normally happens when I do that is I don't do it.
Mm.
But even when I do it, it's not as important as powerful as I think it could have been if I had to do it.
Amen. Thank you, Faye. If online, if you couldn't hear her, Faye said that obedience delayed is disobedience. That's very powerful. So much, yes.
The Holy Spirit speaks, you know, and through a lot of people to us. And he spoke to me a lot through my mother. And one of the things that I can remember always saying is, people make time for the things that are important to you.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody says to me, oh, well, I don't have time to do that. Or when you say, I don't have time to do that, I said, yeah, but I had time to watch that TV show for 3 hours the other day. Mm-hmm. Or I had time to do something else that wasn't as meaningful as it would have been if I dealt even just read my Bible or spent time doing something productive for the Lord. And I cannot tell you how many times that praise has come back to me from her all these years.
Amen. Amen.
And Linda, may I say,
yes.
Talking a lot, but it's such a good feeling when you do what's right.
Amen. He blesses us, doesn't he? Oh my goodness, let me tell this quickly. So Wanda will remember this. Wanda's my babysitter now, taking care of me and keeping me company. So in with this feeling that I need to do more for the Lord. You'll remember Brother Don one day had a thing before July the 4th and said, we need some volunteers for the children during the July the 4th. And I sitting over here said, Brother Don, do you mind passing that around? Because I'm too lazy to get up and go to the table and sign it. So he did, thank goodness. And I signed it, and I signed Wanda up at the same time. God bless her. So we signed up to do the sticky hat with the children. Had no clue what a sticky hat was. I think it was a typo. I think it was sticker hat. I still didn't know what that was. So anyway, we were signed up for it, and they sent us information, and we had to be over here. You remember the July the 4th. You remember the weather. So Wanda and I like to get there early. We had a good parking place right next to the sidewalk, backed up. We were sitting there waiting for the time. And the clouds came over and the lightning and the thunder. And I was feeling uneasy. I was like, oh dear, I don't want to be here in this weather. Well, God bless Vicky and Jim and the others that got drenched in that weather, setting up the tent and preparing for us. But I'm in the car and I'm getting uneasy because I'm watching the lightning. And I told Wanda, I said, maybe we need to go home. I was feeling a lot better at home. And then I thought, well, we're here having fellowship. Let's just go to Longhorns. And we'll just go there. And I was ready to go. And then I said, you know, I signed up to help those children with the sticker hats. Now, which would you rather do, Longhorns or sticker hats? Be honest. But I felt obligated to it. I said, Wanda, I signed us up. We've got to stay here. So to make a long story shorter, we stayed. The weather parted. Christians had been praying. The clouds cleared. And I had to get out and go find that sticker hat booth. So we found Terry Lincoln. And here was my attitude. Talking about attitude. Here was my attitude. Here's Terry. And here we are, two elderly ladies.
Wait.
To work. We're going to help children, you know, right away. That's not a good match, you know. And I'm not in a good attitude because of the storm. I wanted to go home. So here's Terry, and I find her. And I say, Terry, I'm Linda, and this is Wanda. And we signed up. We're here to help with the children's sticker hat, but you don't really need us help, do you? Because we could just go on if you don't really need us. She said, well, did you sign up to help? And I was like, yes. Well, then I need you, she said. She won't turn down old people. So that's not an excuse. So we went over. She had two folding chairs with a table for us to sit at. So I was happy. Only had to be there an hour. So we sat down and started doing our craft stuff with the little, it's the cardboard, like the birthday hats. It has the chin strap elastic, and the kids just peel off a sticker and put on it. And it was 4th of July stickers. It's not complicated. Boy. So we sat there, and the children started coming up. This is so funny. So I said, well, I'm going to put one of these little hats together, Wanda, so the children can see what it looks like as a pattern. And I'll just put it on my head so they can see how it looks. And here comes the first little family and group of children. And I'm like, would you like to make one of these sticker hats like I've got on? And that precious little child looked at me and went, no. So I said, okay. I thought I better, this is not good sales and marketing. I better take that off. And I put it in the front of the table, and we made more. And the little children came by with their families, the mamas and the daddies and the older sisters, and they made their little sticker hats. And Wanda was a whiz at that. If y'all need production, she can do it. But I'm all clumsy. So when the little children left there and the next people came to replace us, our substitutes, we'd only been there an hour. I really didn't want to go. Those little children blessed us. Their beautiful faces, their innocence, they're there to have fun. And I talked about, did you see the thunder, the lightning earlier? That was God's fireworks. And so we could talk about that. Those little children blessed me so. But look at my attitude ahead of time. Look at my attitude ahead of time. If I'd gone to Longhorns and had my cup of hot tea, I would have missed it and regretted it.
Clint. Amanda, I'd like to say too that you and Wanda bless the kids. And another thing, that word elderly and old, there is no future in it.
That's the future. I forget the joke about you're either going to die young or grow old, one or the other. So,
but still, don't use
it. Don't use it. Okay. We heard it this weekend. Somebody said at the gospel concert said they were diagnosed with OLD. I want to read something to you. The point of this is that we are here. We've been told to go. Every single one of us in here, 43 of you in here can sign up with There's Hope for the Hungry. And you could just go out with Gloria and Randy one week, and or Don or Glenn or whoever's going, go accompany them and just watch and just listen. And you will not have all the answers. You'll never have all the answers. but the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit has the answers. He tells us to be instant, in season when it's convenient, when we're prepared, or out of season when it's not convenient and we're not prepared. So those excuses don't hold up. I need for you to, when I was going through this lesson that the Holy Spirit's given me, I've got it. I've got the point. I need to be busy now, and I'm ready. I'm ready. So, Don, when you need volunteers, Wanda and I are ready. And I may, if I can get Faye and Dorothy, just a minute, Glenn. If I can get Faye and Dorothy in on that too.
Hey, Wanda, stand up and finish this.
Oh, dear. So I've got the message now that I need to be showing compassion. Here's a question. Is it easier to show compassion for physical needs or for spiritual needs? Which is it easier for you to show compassion with? And I'd say it's physical needs. That comes easier. You need backpacks or blankets or school supplies. We'll buy the stores out and bring them here. Compassion for physical needs is easier for us to do, but it's more difficult for us to show compassion spiritually. Why is that? Because we have an enemy. Our Father has an enemy, and his enemies are our enemies too. Satan's not doesn't care about any of us. It's about stopping God's will from being done. And if we start to accomplish God's will, Satan will fight us every step of the way. And the first step of the way is to make us be quiet. That's the first step of the way. He wants you to be quiet in that recliner at home. He wants you to say, oh, I'm too shy. Oh, why don't I have all the answers? I'm not prepared. I've never done anything like this, Lord. I can't do it. That is the voice of your enemy. And you've got to be real about this. You've got to be serious about this. We only have a few short years left. We only have a short amount of time left. If we have 20 years left, that's still a short amount of time. The time that we have left, we better get busy. We better get busy. I better be doing serious things for the kingdom. Okay, I've got that message. What gets me to care about someone's spiritual condition? What's something that could cause me to care about them? As I pondered this with the Lord, he told me that he would have to break my heart for the lost to get me to care for them. If my heart's not broken for them and the condition that they face, I won't care. I won't care about them. You won't care about them. If we're comfortable, we're happy, we're settled in what we're doing, we don't care about somebody else's soul. We'll sing about it. But how much do we care? Do we care enough to overcome this Satan, the enemy that's trying to stop us? And boy, he has a field day with just a simple little excuse. He shuts our mouth. He shuts mine. Quit. Oh, no, I'm too shy. I can't do that. I wouldn't know what. The preacher can do it. The deacons can do it. The teacher can do it. But I can't. John 3:16. Does everybody in here know John 3:16? If that's the only verse you know, you've got the answer. You've got the answer. It's the love of God. It's the love of God, how much he cares for us. We don't have to be able. We just have to be what? Available. We don't have to be able, just available. And he does the work. I want to read these words to you, and we'll be closing in just a minute. It's from the old hymn, and I hope you'll all go to the hymn sing. And if you like gospel concerts, just ask Wanda what's the next one on our calendar, and she'll tell you, because we're running the roads. And what a blessing. Oh, my gosh. We were just in Blairsville this Friday night and Saturday afternoon for the gospel concerts up there, and they had them Saturday evening too. Each one was different. You received a blessing. You're in amongst Christians who are clapping, shouting, and the brothers are shouting, amen. And I love that. I wish we could hear that ring in our church here. So, brothers, y'all, I have to not be quiet. Get Baptocostal on us, and let's hear that. The words to the song, Rescue the Perishing. And you'll be glad I'm not going to sing this for you. But if I had...
Maybe Wanda would sing.
She has a beautiful voice. She loves music. Listen to these words. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Spiritually dying, we're talking about. Snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one. Lift up the fallen. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Though they are slighting him, still he is waiting. You know, when he was on the cross, he looked down at those soldiers and he said, God, forgive them. They don't know what they do. They didn't ask to be forgiven. They didn't know he could forgive them. But in his mercy, he asked God, go ahead and forgive them. Though they're slighting him, still he is waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently. He will forgive if they only believe. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness from us, cords that were broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing. Duty demands it. Duty demands it of you, shy person. Duty demands it. You don't feel real strong. My joints are aching. Strength for the labor. The Lord will provide. We don't have to be able. He will provide the strength. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them. Tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. Written by Fanny Cosby, and who was born in 1820. This was written in 1869, and it's just as powerful today as it was then. Any thoughts or comments? Yes, sir.
I'm about to just tell you a quickie story. Some years ago, with There's Hope, there was a man named Ray Winkiewicz or something like that. And I can't remember his last name. He was a World War II hero. I think it was a Medal of Honor winner or a Silver Star or something. He was 86 years old, going out with There's Hope. He was down in Marietta with the truck down there in the guy. And he's coming out the front door of the church and fell down the stairs of the church and broke his leg.
Oh.
Called an ambulance. Back to what Glenn said about saying can't, he did not know the meaning of that word. They loaded him in the ambulance, and he proceeded to lead the ambulance attendant to Christ.
Praise God. Praise God.
On the way to the hospital.
Praise God.
So Satan can throw all kinds of obstacles out there. It's just a matter of whether we're going to keep on keeping on.
Amen. Amen. Yes, ma'am. You're going to have to come talk loud. Come up here.
Franklin Phoenix said, make America.
That's true. Amen. Amen. Online, Sherry said that Franklin Graham mentioned the phrase, make America great again. And he said that only God can make America great again. And now we are all going to help. Amen. Amen. Okay, you can see Don or Randy, I know. Anybody else with There's Hope for the Hungry in here? Barry, sign up with any one of those guys. Tell them you'd like to go with them when they go out just to look it over and see what it's about. If you know John 3:16, you've got it.
Linda?
Yes, ma'am.
You can't go in the truck. You can do like Lois and I used to do and pack the box.
Well, that's true. Amen. You can. And, you know, Brother Walt reminded me of this. When you're packing boxes, we worked back in the kitchen here, drying dishes and forks and silver and all of that. And it's just a routine. It's not, you don't have to be a deep thinker to dry the stuff. You know? So I was getting bored there drying this stack of trays. And I talked to the Holy Spirit and said, Lord, I'm so special. Surely you have something more important for me to do than just to dry these trays. And he said, what about this? What if you pray for each person that ate off of that tray tonight? They have problems nobody may know about. Maybe nobody has prayed for them today. So Linda, you get busy and pray. And I forgot about that. And Brother Walt and Shelby reminded me of that because he volunteered back there in the kitchen too. And it was a blessing. It's a blessing to work anywhere. And loading the boxes, filling the boxes with groceries is so important. So there's a place for you. And here's what else I have to tell you. God's after you. You may sit there and smile and think, I'm going to go home and watch TV. I'm here to tell you, God is after you. He did not send me here to shake like a leaf and do this for no good reason. And it's because he is after you. He wants you to get busy. He needs you. The harvest is plentiful, but what about the laborers? They're few. Come on, get busy.
I was in the military, and I learned real quick, be careful what you volunteer for, and the devil will tell you that. Don't do that.
Amen. The devil is always ready to interrupt us and stop the work from being done. Those of you that need to go, please go ahead. Don't worry. I've enjoyed this. You all are so dear, and you're so kind and gracious. He gets all the glory. Brother Jim, you have something you want to say?
Oh, you know. Always. I'll just move up here.
Okay. And pray for us before we go.
I will.
So, Lynn did a great job, didn't she?
Yeah.
So, the Lord will impress on her another lesson soon, and she will tell me she's ready, and then we'll do it again. So, thank you. It was wonderful, and I think challenging for all of us. So I think that's wonderful. Thank you all for coming today. We'll get back to sort of what we would call normal next week. I'm going to start a series on the book of Daniel. So if you're interested in that book, it's probably, it is the key book in the Old Testament to really understand how the Old Testament and the New Testament fit together in terms of prophetic things. And it's not all prophecy, a lot of it's history. But we'll get together, we'll do that, and hopefully some light bulbs will go off and maybe some things that are happening in the world will make more sense to you when we finish that. Any other questions?
Yeah, maybe Wanda could help.
Wanda. Yeah, I'll get Wanda to help me. She's hiding back there. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll dismiss. Lord, we're just thankful for Linda today to come and share. We're thankful that your spirit laid on her heart the fact that she had a message to share and she was willing to get up and do it. And I know, Lord, as we do these messages and we share, it's not always easy. Those of us who are used to this is one thing, but those who are not used to it is a little bit different. Lord, we thank you for her willing spirit and her availability to come do it. Lord, we're blessed to be here. We're blessed to be in this church. And I just ask for a special anointing on our pastor as he preaches another of his series on heaven. I pray that we will think about this. We will look forward to it, and Lord, we'll make adjustments in our life to make sure that we're there, our children are there, our grandchildren are there. Lord, just help us be about your will. Help us do the things you've called us to do. We pray it all in the blessed and holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you all.
You need to turn that
way. I'll fix it.
Thank you, Linda. Linda, that was very good. Thank you.
Oh, God
Thank
bless you. Thank God you. Bless you, Holly. God bless you. Okay.
Thank you, Linda.
God bless you,
sweetie. Thank you. It's so wonderful.
Oh, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
Hey, can you click that off switch right there? No, no, on the speaker.
Oh, yes. You did it back.